Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Pastor Derwin Gray. He's a former football player, an amazing man of God. And he has some really important things to say about how the church can embrace God's vision for unity and ethnic reconciliation among his people. You can find that entire conversation up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with Craig Von Buzek about how to pray over current events. And if you're someone who wrestles with fear, you'll especially want to hear what Craig has to share. We'll get him on in just a moment, but a couple of quick announcements first. We are just a short distance from the 4th of July. I really want to encourage you to be praying for our nation. If you don't know who your local representatives are, maybe just take a moment to look them up and ask God, give them wisdom and counsel and a team of advisors who walk in integrity. You know, it can be a discouraging thing to see the changes happening in our culture, but we can't forget the power of prayer, and God moves on the prayers of his people. So do that. Pray for your leaders. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our city and our nation. Also, speaking of prayer, on Sunday, July 10th, we are praying to see 1 million Christians appealing to God for our nation. We're partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals. So if you want to sign yourself up, sign up your life group or your church, do that at nae.net. We are praying for a great showing. Imagine 1 million Christians praying together for the sake of our nation. That's Sunday, July 10th. More information up on nae.net. Now we've got another very important conversation up ahead. There's so much going on in the world today, and with each headline, we have a choice. We can hide away, bury our head in the sand, entertain ourselves to death, or we can lift up our eyes and we can pray. Or we can shake our fist at the darkness and we can hate those who defy everything we hold sacred. Not an option, obviously, for the Christ follower. Although some Christ followers are choosing that road, it's not ours to have. God calls us to pray, to intercede, to stand for truth. In fact, my guest today says one of the most powerful benefits you'll receive as you pray the news is to move from fear to faith. So much of what we see in the media seems ominous, as if the world could come to an end tomorrow. But in praying the news, we choose to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm so honored and blessed to welcome back our good friend. We haven't had him on for, 6 months, a year maybe, Dr. Craig Von Buzek. And let me tell you about him, because we love to have him on to look at the news with a redemptive perspective so that we can see through eyes of faith and say, what does this mean for me as a Christ follower? What does this mean in light of eternity and what of Scripture says? How do I live now? How do I pray now? Let me tell you about Craig. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Craig Von Buzek is a popular speaker and contributing writer for CBN.com and Generals.org. He's the author of Praying the News, the one we're talking about today. Subtitle, Your Prayers Are More Powerful Than You Know. That is absolutely true. It was co-written by 700 Club news anchor Wendy Griffith. Craig served for 10 years as programming director and web producer at CBN.com, one of the world's most popular Christian websites. Craig currently serves as chaplain resident at Vidant Medical Center in Greenville, North Carolina. Craig, we sure missed you. Welcome back to the program.
Susie, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on again.
In such an important time. I mean, it always seems like such an important time, but since we talked last, things have accelerated beyond my, imagination. So I appreciate your insights always. Well, you're a man of the word. I absolutely know that. I was wondering if you, just to start out our conversation like we always do, is there a verse that's been on your heart these days?
Well, jumping off of what you just said, the verse that was really on my heart was from Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3, and it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And verse 3 says, "I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." very appropriate for our day.
Oh, indeed. Well, for those who've not maybe heard our past conversations, our audience has expanded, Craig, since you've been on last, and that's just a wonderful thing. Talk about why we chose, when we were processing behind the scenes way back when, to you know, label these segments Grace and Truth with Craig Van Buzek. Why Grace and Truth?
Well, John chapter 1 speaks of how Jesus came to the earth, and it says specifically that he came in grace and truth. And it's important for people to realize, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything by accident. And so the fact that grace comes before truth in the life of Jesus is for us a sign, because we are, our goal here in the earth and in this life is to seek to be more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he says, until you come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's our goal, to become like Jesus. Those words, measure, stature, fullness, they're all talking about measurements, right? Mm. Measurements, stature, and fullness. In other words, do we measure up to how Jesus is? Now, we'll never get to that fullness, but that is the goal that we need to be pushing for. And so if John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke and said, Jesus came in grace and truth, then we need to look at that and say, what is that saying for us? Well, the Bible says that we are to speak the truth in love. It's the same concept. Grace and love need to be first in our lives, and then truth. Because what happens is that if we flip that over and it's truth and then, oh yeah, maybe we'll have some love mixed in, what happens is we become pharisaical. You know, it becomes judgment. It becomes harsh, because it's all about truth without the oil, so to speak, of the grace, the oil and the shock absorber of the love. If you just come at people with truth in their face and you don't have any love, then it clicks into 1 Corinthians 13 mode, where you're just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, and nobody's going to listen to you. You can yell and get all red in the face, but nobody's going to hear. And what is our goal? Our goal is to be a representative of Jesus in the earth. Our goal is to help them see the love of God through Jesus, and the only way that we can do that, the only way they can know the truth, is if we speak that in love.
Amen. And there are Christians who consider themselves the truth police, and somehow love has gotten lost, and honestly, they do more harm than good, because the outsiders are looking in, and they weary the saints. And so this order is so incredibly important. So with that in mind, because we know that these issues are stirring up fear and anger and angst, and there is a righteous anger about what ISIS is doing to people. It's so demonic, it's hard to even get our minds around.
In fact, it really is.
Recently, our Noonday host and program director, Neil Stavem, he hosts a noon show, interviewed Joel Rosenberg, and this interview will air in a couple of weeks. But one thing Joel said regarding extreme terrorism, he says there's radical terrorism, and that's, you know, where they'll go to extreme ends to occupy the region. But then there's apocalyptic extremist terrorism, and that's world domination. And he said that's what we're seeing in ISIS. That is just horrifying when you think about it. So tell me your thoughts as you're watching Boko Haram, ISIS. What is your take, and how then shall we pray?
Well, people need to realize that groups like ISIS, groups like Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and so forth, these are groups that their interpretation of Islam is on the, you know, radical side of things. They're very extreme in their views, and they believe that Islam, from a Sharia law perspective, needs to be the dominant force in the entire earth. They're looking for world domination, just like the communists were looking for world domination, just like the Nazis were looking for world domination. And so when you have a group like this that is growing in large measure because of the internet, their viewpoints, which used to be isolated because they didn't have the ability to transmit these ideas beyond their area geographically, now with the internet, they can transmit these ideas all around the world. And that's why we're seeing young people in the United States, in England, in other places that have actually been indoctrinated with these beliefs and who have gotten on an airplane and gone to Syria to fight with ISIS. This is happening right now, even as we speak. And so we need to take things seriously. And I don't know that our leadership has taken things as seriously as they need to be, because it's obviously grown dramatically. I mean, the size of the landmass that ISIS controls there in Iraq and Syria is the size of one of our states here in the United States. It's a huge amount of land. And then we see the news that just kind of makes you feel a little bit sick to your stomach, where ISIS destroyed a 1,400-year-old Christian monastery. And the Associated Press had put in a request to have a satellite track some of these religious sites, not only Christian, but other Jewish sites and even some Muslim sites. And the satellites have shown that ISIS went into this monastery, and they used bulldozers, they used explosives, they used all kinds of weapons, and they have taken this amazing site, and it is now just a pile of rubble. Nothing is left, and the stone walls have been literally pulverized. They are trying to wipe out the memory of Christianity. They don't even want there to be any, you know, stone monuments. They're going into the different areas, not only of Christianity, but also even paganism, even the Roman era, the Greek era, and they're just destroying all these historical sites because they want to wipe out anything that doesn't go along with their viewpoints. And of course, we've seen the murders on the beaches. We've heard about, you know, just hundreds and actually thousands of women who have been taken in as sexual slaves. We've heard of men who have been made into slaves, and then if they declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, they'll take them out and cut their head off or burn them alive. You know, we just saw last week where they placed Christians into, and this is all documented, they placed Christians into coffins, and then they set the coffins on fire.
Oh,
I mean, it's barbarous.
Dear Lord.
And so this is something that, you know, it is a philosophical, and I don't even want to call it religious, because this is not, this is beyond religion. This is just barbarism. And so it's something that is a cancer, and we as free people, as the leader, leading free nation in the world, we've got to stand up and provide leadership. And you could say, well, yes, we've got these airstrikes and so on, but they don't seem to be really being effective. And so there, I believe there needs to be a ramping up, both in the military areas, in the diplomacy areas, but also for the church in the area of intercession and prayer.
Talk about Reese Howells. I think you wrote about him in your book, Praying the News, because we can look at this, and it can inspire absolute horror and fear. And it's so barbaric and demonic that you can see it's legitimate, right? But, I mean, there are intercessors of our past who faced, you know, the Nazi regime was demonic as well, what they were doing. But there were people on the wall praying and fasting and interceding, and that made a difference. So speak to that, and just that, because that really is the subtitle of your book. Your prayers are more powerful than you know. Speak to that if you would.
Absolutely true. That's a very clear New Testament biblical concept, that the effective fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And that there's some key adjectives there. Fervent prayer. Not just, oh, bless my food or bless this day or whatever, but really being focused in our prayer and having the faith to believe that God hears our prayer and that he moves on our behalf. You speak of Reese Howells. He was head of a Bible college there in England. All of Europe pretty much had fallen to the Nazi regime at the time, and the Nazis were invading Great Britain, and it looked to everyone at that time that Great Britain would also fall. I mean, the Nazis were very strong at that point. People need to realize and remember that the Nazis, again, as I said earlier, they were about world domination. They saw themselves as the, quote, master race, meaning that they would be in charge and everyone else would serve them. And we saw that whenever they took over an area, whether it would be not only the Jews, but also the Poles, the Ukrainians, the Gypsies, people who had any kind of physical or mental handicap, homosexuals, they used them as slaves until they killed them. And this was their goal, was this world domination. So Rees Howells said, we need to pray against this. We need to go to God. Either the God of the Bible and the promises of Scripture are true or they're not. And now is a time where we need to do this. So he called for the students at the Bible College to start praying and fasting morning and night. And what happened is people in the community heard about this, and they started coming and praying with the Bible College. And then it spread to other nearby communities, and then it spread to other regions. Pretty soon, the entire nation of Great Britain were praying against the Nazi regime and praying that God would have mercy and that he would intervene. And sure enough, to this day, historians don't know why Hitler called off the attacks. And the intensity of the attacks turned, and it gave the Royal Air Force time to retool and to get back out there, and it turned the tide of the war. Hmm. And it was a clear connection to the prayer that was happening that swept all across the nation, but it started with one man standing up and saying, we're going to believe God.
So I want you to think about this. You can be all active on social media, ranting, shaking your fist, or you can fast and you can pray. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, you hear that? But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This is a demonic force at work behind ISIS. There are ISIS members who, if they knew Jesus, they would love him. We need to be fasting and praying, and maybe we will see the tide turn, because God's promises are as true as they've ever been. More with Craig Mambuzik when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend, Dr. Craig Mambuzik, about praying the news. Before the break, he was setting up just the reality of the momentum and the evil behind ISIS. But as Christians, what are we to do? Because the scripture says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities of this dark age. So we as Christians need to know how to pray. I've got to read this excerpt from Craig's book, Praying the News. Listen to this, and then Craig, I'll just love for you to speak to it after that. We live at a time in history when it is critical for the church to learn to be led by the Spirit like this in prayer. God wants to raise up a company of intercessors to pray the news, which is to watch, read, or listen to the news, then intercede for God's will to be done in the issues we face today. God desires that his people become so in tune with his Spirit that we start to pray, that we agree with him in faith to actually make an impact on the course of history through our intercession by walking in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote of the privilege and importance of the believer to live in the Spirit. Scripture says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Far too often we, the church, have been reactionary in our prayers. A tragedy or disaster happens and believers react with catch-up prayers. But we serve the God who sees the end from the beginning. He desires that we be so in tune with his Spirit that we're praying his perfect will in a circumstance before it even occurs in the natural. Now, I want you to speak to that. We've probably got about 4 minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break, Craig. But so we could talk the full hour at these atrocities, and it could only stir up more fear. But the reality is it's as bad as you're saying it is. So now what? How do we talk about this? How do we pray about this? What does our intercession look like?
Well, it's very interesting. In that section of the book, one of the things that I shared was a story of a couple who were on a vacation, and their vacation got interrupted by the Holy Spirit because she kept having this feeling of fear, but she knew it wasn't a fear, that was unnatural. It was the Spirit was putting this, ominous feeling on her, and she kept looking up to the northeast and praying, and it was like something about New York City. I don't know what it is, but I just we need to stop and we need to pray. And so they started praying for New York. They started praying for their family members in New York. And this was right before the 9/11 attacks. Mm-hmm. And it ended up that one of their relatives, I don't remember, I have to look back in the book, but one of their relatives was working in the World Trade Center, and that day got stopped for some reason on her way to work, and it kept her from being in the building when the attacks happened. So that is what we're talking about preemptive prayer rather than a reactionary type of prayer. And quite often, you know, we in the church, we've been reactionary because we haven't been tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that I believe the modern church really needs to start teaching the people and demonstrating to the people, is this importance of learning how to discern the voice of God. The Bible says you will hear this voice behind you. This is in the book of Isaiah. The voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Jesus spoke very clearly and said, my sheep hear my voice. That is a promise. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And then he went on to say, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So that is a wonderful promise for us to say, look, the Bible promises us that the Holy Spirit has been sent. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is available to us. We don't take advantage of that. There has to be faith in that. It's not just something we say, well, isn't that a nice thing, and we put it on a Dayspring card. No, this is something we have to have active in our lives on a daily basis, even to the point where we pray, Holy Spirit, this day, lead me into the truth, even as Jesus promised that you would. And sometimes that can be the difference between life and death. That can be the difference between being where you need to be at the right moment for whatever purpose that God might have you, or not being there.
I'm telling you, there have been times in the middle of the night over the last few years where I was awakened in the middle of the night to pray for Saeed, and I knew he was in deep trouble. I couldn't rest until I prayed. And
wow,
that is what the Holy Spirit does for us as his people, as we take part in the bigger story, isn't it?
It is, but we have to seek after it. It's not something that just automatically comes, and that's where people get this wrong notion that, well, I'm a believer, so therefore this is going to happen for me. No, we have to be asking for these things. We have to be expecting these things. We need to be putting our faith out there to say, God, you said in 2 Corinthians 5 that I was your ambassador in this earth. Well, what does that mean? It's not just flowery language that the Apostle Paul was saying. An ambassador represents the king or the government in a foreign land and has authority in that land to declare and to speak for the king on his behalf. In that same chapter, the Apostle Paul says, you also are God's ministers of reconciliation. And then he goes on to explain, because you have been given, and actually the wording there is entrusted. You've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation, working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit.
Imagine this. We've got about, I don't know, 7 states represented in our listening audience, probably more, if a prayer group started in each of those states where you started to intercede. More with Craig Von Buzek when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have our friend Dr. Craig Von Buzek joining us today, talking about his book, Praying the News, Your Prayers Are More Powerful Than You Know. And here's another excerpt from this great book. He says, as we pray God's will on earth, we're standing as a priest or an intermediary between God and man. This is why we pray the news. God's intention from the beginning of time is that we would carry his delegated authority. And it says, so when we're praying, thy will be done, we're standing in the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. That's what intercession is all about. So let's talk for just a moment before we move on to the elections and the recent hostage release, Craig. How do you pray regarding ISIS?
Well, I think it's important for us to find out what it is that Jesus wants us to do. Jesus is God's representative. We would know nothing about God, and God would be so big and so unknowable, but he sent his son to become a human that we could see how he interacted, how he acted. And so when they came to him and they said, how should we pray? He said, pray this way. First of all, give glory to God, our Father, which art in heaven. We glorify your name. Then he said, then pray, your will be done, your kingdom come, right? Though that word kingdom is so important, because what it actually means is the suffix there is D-O-M, which is shortened version of the word dominion. So what he was saying is pray that the dominion of the king would be done. This goes directly back to God's original intent for his relationship with man in the garden. In the garden, he gave mankind, Adam and Eve, jobs to do. He said, name the animals, tend the garden. I have delegated authority. The Bible says that the Godhead delegated authority, said, let us make man in our image, and let us give them dominion, kingdom, dominion on the earth. So the king delegated the dominion to man. And then it says that God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. That is the relationship side. So the first side is the dominion side, the task side, the calling, as we would put it. The other side is the time of fellowship, the time of worshiping, the time of interacting with him. And so when Jesus said to his disciples, pray your kingdom come, he was going right back to the original intention of what God wanted for man from the beginning and what he still wants for us today. So when we're praying about ISIS, remember, you know, when James and John came to Jesus and said, you know, you should call down fire on that village, he said, you don't know what spirit you're speaking from. Because later Jesus would teach and say, the measure of judgment that you use is the measure that will be judged back to you. And so when we start speaking in anger, in judgment, in hate, well, guess what's we're going to reap? If we're sowing those things, we're going to reap those things. What Jesus was saying to James and John is, you're of the wrong spirit. This is not grace and truth. You're just speaking what your thought of truth is. Let's wipe out this village because they're bad people. It's kind of like Jonah. Jonah had that same spirit. God said, go preach to them and tell them to repent. And when they actually did repent, Jonah got all mad. Why don't you destroy these evil people? And God had to teach him that lesson, that this is not the spirit of love that I want you to be praying. So today, when we're seeing these atrocities, and they truly are atrocities, it's like going back to the Roman era of the atrocious way of treating people, we need to not be praying that fire would come down on them, but we need to be praying, Lord, open their eyes. Go to them in dreams and visions. Let them see the truth of what love is about and not this evil form of twisted religion.
Wow. Well put. Thank you for that so much. Okay, let's talk a bit about the election, because here again is another topic, Craig, that can stir up heart rates, anxiety, angst. You can get your heart rate up without exercise when you talk politics. So what do you say about what are you seeing in the landscape right now?
I am really concerned because I am disappointed, is the word that I would say, with the rhetoric just across the board. Now, we know that it's politics, and when you're on the presidential stage, it gets really ugly, and I mean really ugly. I've heard some insider stories of how bad it can be. You know, when people are going after power, if they don't have the spirit of Christ, they'll do whatever it takes to get that. And but that is it's not what's going to help our country. My concern is that as a nation, we are on this pendulum where we've gone from one side of the political spectrum, and now we've got this other side where even as it was said of Donald Trump, using one of the examples, that he's representing the anger and frustration of millions of people. That's not – you don't build from anger. Now, it can be very motivating, and I think that's what we're seeing, is that there's a motivation. There is an anger there, and there is such a thing as a righteous anger, but the way the language is being said and the personal attacks, I think, are hurting our nation rather than helping it. And we are seeing more division now than I think we've seen since the 1960s in our inner cities, between the races, between the socioeconomic class. Now's not a time to be pouring gasoline on the fire. Now's a time to be pouring water on the fire. And so It is a difficult time, and we as the church need to be praying and not adding to the gasoline being thrown on the fire, but we need to be speaking the truth in love.
Appreciate that so much, Craig. You know, as you're talking, it sort of reminds me of somebody who causes a church split, and they leave in angst, and they may think that they're as right as the day is long, and maybe they have kernels of truth of things that they observe, but the way they're going about it is all wrong. And in response, they go and they build a church off of this church split. It's not a foundation that's sustainable. I mean, visionary leaders lead by humility and faith and vision. And so how do you pray? I mean, what I'm praying lately, Craig, is, Father, give us the leader we need and not the one we deserve.
Oh, wow. Well, you answered your own question because that is exactly correct. But I also think that we need to be praying for mercy because there's so much going on in our nation that goes against biblical principles, goes against the principle of love. We've been sowing an awful lot of seeds that are damaging seeds. And so instead of praying, for justice, we need to be praying for mercy in this season. And we need to be praying that people of wisdom would rise up with words of wisdom. Now, those words can be tough. Don't get me wrong. We need to speak tough words. Jesus certainly did. He called some of the Pharisees whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, this is Peter, one of the chief disciples who was there on the day of Pentecost leading the church. So there were times when Jesus would speak very straight in the proper moment, but then there were other times where he would say to them, "Those who are without sin, throw the first stone." And he said to the woman caught in the act of adultery, which, by the way, where was the guy? But at any rate, caught in the act of adultery, "Woman, where are your accusers? I don't accuse you either. Now go and just don't sin anymore." And again, we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and say, how can I be more like him? And how can I represent that in whatever area of influence I may have in my life?
And there's a key word right there, Craig, is influence. Because again, we can get so caught up in groupthink, and you just have to watch a lot of the news no matter which side of the aisle you're on, and you're going to be worked up, you're going to be assigning motives, you're going to be accusatory, self-righteous in your stance, and none of those fruit come from the vine. And I just want to say, of course we have to discern the times, but say just a word, if you would, about the idea of redemption, of our own personal revival. Because as we ask for mercy and we ask for God to heal our land, we also need to pause and say, Lord, for the collective angst that I have of what's going on corporately, show me where I play a part in my everyday attitudes. Because it takes, one snowflake and then another to make a snowball that can bowl over a whole city. Do you know what I'm saying? We each have a part.
Yeah.
So speak to just our personal responsibility, not only as American citizens, but kingdom citizens.
Well, this goes back to what I was saying earlier about the relationship side of the coin, because a lot of times the modern church has been really focused on the task or the calling side. What is your calling? When did you receive the call? And all that is important, but if you don't have the relationship side, then again, you go back to the noisy gong and clanging cymbal issue. Jesus said in the Last Supper, when he was talking to his disciples there in John chapter 8, he spoke and said, "If you abide in me, then you will bear much fruit." See, the abiding is the relationship side. And the relationship side is where you spend time with the Lord, you spend time in the Word, you spend time in worship, you spend time in fellowship. It's that relationship building with the Lord that then from that comes the change in your character. You become more like Jesus. If you're always out there just doing, you're going to get burned out, and eventually your spiritual well will run dry because you're not refilling it through the relationship side.
We spend so much time arguing with people we disagree with about symptoms. And I was thinking, my son just told me the other day he listened to an Andy Stanley sermon online, and he was talking about, of course, love being the highest order of the day. But he said, really, the reason Jesus says, everything else is wrapped up in that one commandment, because he said, if you just become a rule follower and you don't steal, you don't kill, all those things are really important. But if you first and foremost focus on love, the love of God and love for each other, because I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. Because I love
right.
you, I'm not going to kill you. And he said, that's why it all goes back to love. And so when we argue with people who vote differently than we do, or who stand on a different side of an issue than we do, we're really missing the point, aren't we?
It is a real difficult thing. And again, this is why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we have to find this balance. And that's why, going back to what we said at the beginning of the program, why it needs to be grace and truth.
Mm.
I remember talking to a friend, and he said that he took it upon himself to be truth man, you know, like a big, had a big cape with a big T on it. And, you know, he was just out there to defend the truth. And what happened is that he just bowled over people. And so he was wounding people left and right, thinking that he was serving God, when the whole time, in reality, he was pushing people away from God.
Hmm.
And that's where we miss it. And that's why the motivation has to be love. First of all, loving God, and that's that relationship. Then receiving his love, his forgiveness, being healed ourselves in our own wounds, and then going out from that as the overflow to become a healer of others. And that is then shared with another and another and another, and pretty soon, it, like you said, the snowflake becomes the snowball, becomes the avalanche, and it changes things.
Amazing. Just picture these people, maybe that your neighbors or family members who vote differently, who think differently, and you're so frustrated with them. Now imagine stepping back and saying, God, what do you love about that person? What makes them thirsty? What breaks their heart? Let me see them the way you see them. And they start to feel and see the compassion of Christ on your face. They're going to want to draw near to you, not run away from you. Boy, we've got to get a hold of this, right? Well, when we come back, our last segment here, we're going to talk with Craig about the recent hostage release, how to pray, because there are many persecuted Christians today, this very moment, being tortured for their faith. How do we stand? How do we pray? More with Craig when we return. There was ever a time to become a person who's much with God and much in prayer. It's today. It's right now. Glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Dr. Craig von Buzek. He's a journalism expert. He's a Bible scholar, and he's a man of God. And we love to talk with him about looking at the news from a redemptive lens so that we know how to pray, right? You can go to a lot of other channels if you want to get all stirred up and get angry and get mad. We want to be powerful in prayer. This last segment, Craig, if we could talk, just give me your thoughts on the recent hostage release, and I'm sure we could devote a whole show to that, but just your thoughts there and then how we could be praying for the persecuted church.
Well, you know, we had said in earlier programs that the news can be looked on as God's to-do list in prayer. And I know that over the last couple of years with Pastor Saeed and others who were being held hostage in Iran, that there were literally tens of thousands of people praying. And that is a great force of power. And one of the reasons why Wendy and I wrote this book was that we recognize that this is a way, the news is a way, of bringing people together in agreement in prayer. And that's what's so powerful about this concept. The Bible says that if two or more would agree as touching anything they ask, it would be done by my Father which is in heaven. And you say, oh, well, there are things we pray and pray and pray, and how come they're not changing? Well, it's because we need to be praying God's will. You know, a lot of people say, well, I name it and I claim it. Well, that's not really a biblical concept. The biblical concept is hear it, name it, and claim it, meaning that you're led by the Spirit, and then you pray under the leading of the Holy Spirit for those things. And one of the ways that we encourage people to do that, Susie, is by watching the news with an ear tuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In one of my books, Seven Keys to Hearing God's Voice, I talk about, I kind of jokingly call it WGOD. You know, we're on the radio here. If it's the West Coast, it'd be KGOD. You know, God is always sending out his signal. And the truth of the matter is, that is the truth. God is speaking in so many different ways. And when you do theological study, you realize that God speaks through nature. God speaks through other people. God speaks through his word. God speaks directly to your heart in that still small voice. The key is not saying, God, would you please speak to me? Oh, why don't you speak to me? The truth of the matter is, he is. Are you tuned in to KGOD? Are you tuned in to WGOD? If you're tuned in by having a heart that says, here I am, Lord, send me, in prayer, in action, in loving my neighbor, loving those who are unlovely, then suddenly you'll notice that your frequency comes into tune and you start to hear these things, and the Lord will say, do this, do that, and you'll be amazed. And that's some of the things that we share in the book, how amazing it can be. It's an adventure of the Spirit. When you tune into the voice of the Spirit, you pray according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you start to see things change, and it's really amazing.
Mm. Wow. So your thoughts on this recent hostage release? And I appreciated one of the news outlets said, you know, these guys were calling them prisoners, but they didn't do anything wrong. They were hostages, and they've been released. What say you?
Yeah, they were political prisoners. It was all for propaganda purposes. And this is something that actually I think a lot of people were amazed. But on the other hand, we say, but there were a lot of people praying. Mm-hmm. And God intervened in this situation, and he brought freedom. Because there's a purpose for these people. God has something more for them to do. And so we need to continue to be praying for Pastor Saeed, praying for the other hostages who have been released, that now they would be healed, because it's going to take a little while for them to debrief, to get back into the flow of quote-unquote normal life, and then to say, okay, God, what, you know, you've preserved my life for this purpose. What do I do now? Why am I here? Where do I go from here? And so we need to be praying for these folks, for their families, because it's going to be an adjustment. It might be difficult. There might be some post-traumatic stress that's going to be going on, that's going to need to be dealt with in counseling, dealt with in prayer, dealt with in deliverance. But also just saying, Lord, thank you for this. And, Lord, I pray that you would continue to use these people in a very special way.
Mm. And how about the persecuted church even now? I mean, we've covered this on the show once in a while, just to keep the persecuted before us, as Scripture calls us to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. And one of the things that comes up when we bring experts of the persecuted church on the air is that our persecuted brothers and sisters say that it's an American prayer to pray that they would get out of there. They're like, if we leave, who will tell them? Don't pray that we're extracted from this place. Pray that we'll be courageous, that we'll be bold, that we'll be faithful. I honestly can almost not fathom that kind of courage, and I admire it so much. But tell me how you think we need to be praying for those nameless, faceless brothers and sisters who are sitting in prisons now and have been there longer than the ones we've just learned about.
It is one of those things where we see in the Bible where it speaks about the golden bowl of incense in the book of Revelation, and he says these are the prayers of God's people. Well, what is incense? Incense is something that, I mean, if you ever set incense in a room, it fills your whole house, right?
Mm.
Well, that's what our prayers are like to God. If we are praying in agreement for whatever it may be, in this case you're speaking about those who are persecuted, but whatever it may be, and we're praying according to God's will, that comes before the Lord, and he is honored by that, and he will move on behalf of his people. But we need to realize that God will do what God's going to do, not necessarily, like you said, from our Western Americanized view of Christianity and what that means to be a disciple of Jesus. I mean, my Bible says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And so there are those around the world who are doing that in whatever way that God has called them to. One of the things that we could pray is, Lord, give them strength to endure whatever it is that they're doing, but also strengthen them with hope so that they could continue to pray. Because as they are there in their place of prison or persecution, they are praying as well. And quite often we hear people who have been free who come back and say, I was praying for you just as you were praying for me. And that's a real blessing.
Amazing. Well, we've got about 2-3 minutes here before we wrap up and pray, Craig. You know, just as thinking as you're talking about the idea, the Scripture says that justice, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. And so often we get a wrong picture of God. You know, he is love, but he has a righteous right hand. I mean, you look at, he does not look the other way, roll his eyes at injustice. He hates injustice. He hates dishonest scales. He hates it when the bully puts the underdog at the bottom of the pile. I mean, he hates that stuff. Why don't you just give us a picture of God's heart of and why righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne?
Well, we look at one of the key scriptures for intercession. We see in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and you really hear the heart of God here where he says, if my people, and so it's a question mark. If is part of a question, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will do that, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if all those conditions happen, then here's the promise. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring reconciliation. Like we said earlier, he has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation because he's about the work of reconciling sinful men, sinful mankind, to himself. And he's chosen, for whatever reason, to use you and me. In all of our weaknesses, in all of our frailties, he's chosen to use us. But in order for it to happen, we've got to say, Lord, heal me, help me, give me grace, heal the things in my heart so that I don't go out and hurt other people. You know, the old saying is, wounded people hurt other people, or hurt people hurt people. But Lord, heal me so that then I can go out and bring healing to others. And that really needs to be our prayer. If God's going to heal our land, we need to do these things, but know that he wants it more than we want it.
Yeah. And there will be a day when he balances out the scales and
That's right.
He does punish wickedness, and he does point to his children and say, they are mine, and shows his glory. And it's going to be
Amen.
A great day. May we live in faith. You know, he looks over the earth. Will he find faith in you? That's the question. Craig, as we wrap up here, wondering if you would pray for us as God's people, pray that we would be found faithful.
Father, we do come to you right now, and we ask, Lord God, that you would strengthen us with might. Even as the early disciples, when they were persecuted, they said, Lord, consider their threats, but stretch forth your hand to heal, and may signs, wonders, and miracles be done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us that same spirit to say, Lord, the threats are out there. You'll deal with those things. But now, give us the grace, the power, the wisdom we need to be able to go out and be ministers of your healing in the earth. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Craig, appreciate this time so much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. It was my honor.
Always good. Look forward to chat with you again. Title of his book is Praying the News. Your prayers are more powerful than you know. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.